Welcome back to Around the Patch. Hey, I'm watching outside here, and there is the prettiest pilatus. It's green with kind of checkered tail. I watched them, and a really nice silver patina on it down here by the Flying and Cannon photo platform. So everybody's got to come down and take a look at some of the cool stuff here. I have here with me today Amy Gesch. Amy, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Well, we are good.
Oh, excellent. Amy's director of marketing for Dakota Cub Aircraft. Now, Amy, how long have you been with Dakota Cub? It's a great machine, by the way.
It is. I'm pretty new to the company. They've been around since 1993, and I started actually at the end of August. I met them out in June last year, met them again here at Oshkosh, and it just kind of all went from there, found a great fit, and just been having a blast.
Oh, fantastic. So tell me, what's new with the Dakota Cub these days?
What is new? Well, we're up to all sorts of good things. We just had two more kits added to the approved kits list back in November, so ramping up to get those out. We have one on display completed. We've got a demo aircraft flying, and just upgraded. We're looking to upgrade our website so it's easy for builders and certified aircraft, you know, prospects to find parts and everything. So just lots of little things going on.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There are a lot of Cub lookalikes, for lack of a better term, out here on the field. What distinguishes the Dakota Cub from them?
Well, for one, ours stays a lot truer to the original Super Cub. We started out building wing parts for Super Cubs and been doing that for 18 years. And we believe that Piper did a lot of things right. They didn't expect the airplane to last this long, so we've upgraded as we've went, but we've stayed very true to that, you know, very hardworking construction, things that are easy to fix, very durable and rugged. But we've added things like our slotted wings, which it dramatically improves the slow speed handling of the airplane. It's just so comfortable flying slow, which obviously makes it a great short field airplane. We've made it more rugged. Our flaps, we have 90-inch flaps, which are 44% larger than a standard Super Cub.
Whoa, 44%. That's going to make a difference.
I call them barn doors because we've got a 50-degree flap setting, and they come down, and you look in that airplane, it just, you know, I've had people on the ground, they say it's like you just put the air brakes on, and it just floats down like an elevator. It's unbelievable.
Man. That's incredible. So you can do a short field with an obstacle landing without any trouble at all.
Right. Within the first 2 hours of flying the airplane, because I started in J3s, and I'm like, oh gosh, flaps. Well, I've only got 10 hours in a 150. I never felt comfortable in it. You know, that little wheel on the front thing confused me. Wasn't used to that. But, you know, within about 2 hours in this airplane, it's so comfortable. It's so easy to fly. It doesn't bite. You know, you could sit there and put it on the numbers and just be down and stopping like nothing flat.
Yeah. Now, you've got a couple incarnations of it, though. So you've got one that really feels and has the horsepower like an old Super Cub would, with obviously these improvements. It's tandem, though, right?
Right. We have, we do parts for PMA parts for Cubs. We have three kits. We also have our type certified model.
So that's right.
We have got, and we're a repair station, too. So pretty much if you bring it in, we can fix it or get you a new one. We do just about everything, but yeah, we have three kits basically set by their gross weight. We call them by the engines that we put on them, designed for either about 100 horse, patterned after a P1895, and that one is LSA eligible.
Oh, there you go.
So that's
exciting. So that sits at 1320 on
its gross. It can be 1320 or 1600 because all of its performance meets LSA requirements. When the builder completes his initial flight test, he would just make a notation of everything, set the gross weight at 1320, and he can operate under the light sport rule. But if he ever sells it to a private pilot, that private pilot could bump up that gross weight to 1600 if he wanted to as well.
Okay, that if it's an experimental aircraft, that's actually not a really big deal to bump up the gross weight. I know that.
Right, yeah, and we've tested it all the way up to that. You know, we've also got a 2,050-pound gross weight one, and then we have an exact copy of our certified model, which is 2,300-pound gross weight.
Okay.
And a wide fuselage and
very nice.
All the power you can put on the front of it is grand.
How many of those do you sell in a year, do you know?
They're pretty new. We've had three kits go out the door in about the past year, and I think there was one that went out earlier. We haven't really pushed the kits yet because we just had them added to the approved kits list, so we wanted to wait for that news, and I've had one go out since November, so we're really excited because we're not, you know, known as a kit manufacturer yet. It's a brand new field for us, but we're really excited about it. We've had, you know, lots of really great feedback. And, you know, so far the show's been going great for us as far as inquiries and the kids.
That's good to hear, because I know Sun and Fun was actually a very tough show for you. You had some damage, didn't you?
We did. We brought two airplanes down there, our certified 180 horsepower model, as well as our light sport eligible kit, which is the one that I flew. And when the storm went through Sun and Fun, we were right out front flight line. We had double tie-downs in. We had a claw. We had a big auger, you know, driven 2 feet in the ground, and that wind came through, and we were holding on to one of them, and the other airplane just flipped right over, and actually it hit the light aircraft, our LSA eligible one, and missed some of our team members by about 5 feet.
Oh, so we were
very fortunate that no one got hurt, but it was a tremendous heartbreak, a really big setback for us. But, you know, we're here and we're on the rebound.
Airplanes can be fixed. Team members are a lot harder to replace.
They are, especially when they're as much of characters as we are.
So this is an interesting segue for you, because you weren't always in the marketing business. You worked here at EAA for a while, didn't you?
Well, I've been a volunteer photographer for the past 6 years. I'm still trying to do a little bit of it on the side, but so far I've been pretty busy with Dakota Cub, and that's great because that means that we've got people looking at it. And, you know, I like to say that I got the coolest job in the company because I get paid to go talk about airplanes, and, you know, the airplane that I get to fly around is not a bad job perk either.
No,
I can't complain.
No, I was going to say, whenever a job comes with flying the airplane, it's a good job. It's a definitely a good job. That's really exciting. But volunteering here at EAA Photos, so you're doing some work for the Air Venture Today, mm-hmm. and possibly even Sport Aviation Magazine, right?
Right. And in fact, I have to do this little plug because I'm all proud. As a matter of fact, one of the photos, one of the air-to-airs that I had the tremendous opportunity to ride along with Jim Kepnick, who's EAA's chief photographer, I have one of the pictures from that air-to-air is in the 2012 calendar of a J2 Cub, and that's in June.
Sweet. I can't wait to see it.
And I'm really proud because our Super 18 Light, which is on display in the booth, is she's Miss January from the ski plane flying, and I'm flying, so... It's a banner year.
definitely. So I got to get my hands on that 2012 calendar.
Absolutely.
When's that coming out?
It's out now. I think they have it actually in the warehouse. I know that I got a copy of it. It's like $12.99. They're advertising it in the program, so should be good to go.
Nice. Very, very nice. So, hardworking photographer. What have you seen out on the field this year that kind of tickles your fancy?
Well, I am a little partial to down in that vintage area. I haven't gotten through home builds too much, but down the vintage area, there is a Cessna 165 Airmaster, which I've had a love affair with for quite a while, because it looks like a baby 195, but it's got sticks.
Ooh,
which is
sweet.
Preferable to a yoke, in my opinion. But as far as cruising through, the Curtis Pusher is here, and I've, you know, I had a chance to meet the guys with that, and so I haven't had a chance to look at it, but I'm really excited about it, and the Blériot, too. South of the square.
Yeah, actually, there's more than one Blériot here, is what I heard.
Yeah, there is. You know, I saw one when I walked in, not quite by Theater in the Woods, but right at that northern portion of Vintage, kind of in the shady trees.
Yeah, yeah.
We got two.
That's the word on the street. I mean, it's a banner year when you get two Blériots here. So, that's exciting. So, multitasking, Amy, is the name of the game. And where can people find you?
We are booth 270, southwest corner of Hangar A. So if you walk up to Hangar A, you will see us. We're the ones with the big tires, and we're usually having all sorts of fun. We've got a bare fuselage out, we got a wing out, and we're there ready to answer any questions.
And where can they find you on the web if they miss you here?
Well, it's DakotaCub.com or Super18Aircraft.com. And if you follow the OSH11 hashtag on Twitter, we also do tweet as Dakota_Cub. So... stay in touch.
Many, many, many ways to do that. Amy, thank you so much for coming on today and talking about the Dakota Cub, talking about EAA Photo, and congratulations on being a calendar girl.
Well, thank you. It's been fun.
Excellent. We'll be right back.